Chapter 4. Building Trust. Some of these stories might lead you to think that I believe everyone in business is a complete idiot, ready, even eager, to give away every secret in his or her possession. The social engineer knows that isn't true. Why are social engineering attacks so successful? It isn't because people are stupid or lack common sense, but we as human beings are all vulnerable to being deceived because people can misplace their trust if manipulated in certain ways. The social engineer anticipates suspicion and resistance, and he's always prepared to turn distrust into trust. A good social engineer plans his attack like a chess game, anticipating the questions his target might ask so he can be ready with the proper answers. One of his common techniques involves building a sense of trust on the part of his victim. How does a con man make you trust him? Trust me, he can. Trust, the key to deception. The more a social engineer can make his contact seem like business as usual, the more he allays suspicion. When people don't have a reason to be suspicious, it's easy for a social engineer to gain their trust. Once he's got your trust, the drawbridge is lowered and the castle door thrown open so he can enter and take whatever information he wants. Note: you may notice I refer to social engineers, phone freaks, and con game operators as he through most of these stories. This is not chauvinism. It simply reflects the truth that most practitioners in these fields are male. But though there aren't many women social engineers, the number is growing. There are enough female social engineers out there that you shouldn't let your guard down just because you hear a woman's voice. In fact, female social engineers have a distinct advantage because they can use their sexuality to obtain cooperation. You'll find a small number of the so-called gentler sex represented in these pages. The First Call, Andrea Lopez. Andrea Lopez answered the phone at the video rental store where she worked, and in a moment was smiling. It's always a pleasure when a customer takes the trouble to say he's happy about the service. This caller said he had had a very good experience dealing with the store, and he wanted to send the manager a letter about it. He asked for the manager's name and the mailing address, and she told him it was Tommy Allison and gave him the address. As he was about to hang up, he had another idea and said, "I might want to write to your company headquarters, too. What's your store number?" She gave him that information as well. He said thanks, adding something pleasant about how helpful she had been, and said goodbye. A call like that, she thought, always seems to make the shift go by faster. How nice it would be if people did that more often. The Second Call, Jenny.
"Thanks for calling Studio Video. This is Jenny. How can I help you?"
"Hi, Jenny," the caller said enthusiastically, sounding as if he talked to Jenny every week or so. "It's Tommy Allison, manager at Forest Park, store 863. We have a customer in here who wants to rent Rocky V, and we're all out of copies. Can you check on what you've got?" She came back online after a few moments and said, "Yeah, we've got 3 copies." "Okay, I'll see if he wants to drive over there. Listen, thanks. If you ever need any help from our store, just call and ask for Tommy. I'll be glad to do whatever I can do for you." 3 or 4 times over the next couple of weeks, Jenny got calls from Tommy for help with one thing or another. They were seemingly legitimate requests, and he was always very friendly, without sounding like he was trying to come on to her. He was a little chatty along the way as well. "Did you hear about the big fire in Oak Park? Bunch of streets closed over there," and the like. The calls were a little break from the routine of the day, and Jenny was always glad to hear from him. One day, Tommy called, sounding stressed. He asked, "Have you guys been having trouble with your computers?"
"No," Jenny answered. "Why?"
"Some guy crashed his car into a telephone pole, and the phone company repairman says a whole part of the city will lose their phones and internet connection till they get this fixed.
Oh, no. Was the man hurt?
They took him away in an ambulance. Anyway, I could use a little help. I've got a customer of yours here who wants to rent Godfather 2 and doesn't have his card with him. Could you verify his information for me?
Yeah, sure.
Tommy gave the customer's name and address, and Jenny found him in the computer. She gave Tommy the account number. Any late returns or balance owed? Tommy asked.
Nothing showing.
Okay, great. I'll sign him up by hand for an account here and put it in our database later on when the computers come back up again. And he wants to put this charge on the Visa card he uses at your store, and he doesn't have it with him. What's the card and expiration date? She gave it to him along with the expiration date. Tommy said, "Hey, thanks for the help. Talk to you soon," and hung up. Doyle Lonigan's story. Lonigan is not a young man you would want to find waiting when you open your front door. A one-time collection man for bad gambling debts, he still does an occasional favor if it doesn't put him out very much. In this case, he was offered a sizable bundle of cash for little more than making some phone calls to a video store. Sounds easy enough. It's just that none of his customers knew how to run this con. They needed somebody